Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. We welcome and are pleased that we have with us this morning our co-laborers in the Lord, and these are the singers from Teen Challenge who will be worshiping the Lord in song today. And so we're happy to see you here this morning, folks. If you are visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Will you please note in your bulletin that all activities following the service at Pacific Hills Manor at 2 o'clock this afternoon are canceled, with the exception of our Bible distribution program. If you wish to participate in distributing Bibles in Morgan Hill, please meet here at the church at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And if you have any questions regarding this Bible distribution, please see Pastor Tomlinson. Also refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. Today is, as you know, is the last Sunday of the month, and we will have our fellowship luncheon directly following this service. And everyone is, of course, invited. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. We will be singing now the first and last stanza, stanzas of the hymn this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 37, How Great Thou Art.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, your scripture said, I am Jehovah, and there is no other God before me. And Father, we learned today in Sunday school that the disciples were aware of that scripture, and when the people want to worship them because of their work, they refuse it, and they give honor to you. And so this morning, we give honor to you. To you, our mighty God. And so, Father, we pray that as we celebrate these wonders of worshiping you, understanding you, practicing what we believe. Oh, Father, we pray that you bless us again. We do have the ability sometimes to forget what we learn, but Father, please remind us that we are privileged people. Things happen to us. Today we conclude the studies on the book of Job after 3 months. And the mighty power of God was displayed in the life of this man because he understood you. Father, bless me when I preach the Bible, that I make it simple, relevant only to you, so that people may understand you, follow you, and be successful in their life. Father, bless our guests who have come to worship with us and to tell us of the power of God in their life. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the privilege that we have and have the teen challenge with us this morning. Thank you for our choir. Thank you for the Bible reading that will be done by our brother Plika. And thank you, Father, for our missionaries that we have, Fred and Carol Lewis, Carol and Ruth Knott, Eusebio and Marisa Perez, David and Denise Rowe, Giovanni and Barbara Vendagno, Marta Poretti, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association, Daniel and Miriam Lacey. Thank you, Father, that you allow us to support these people and their mission field. And Father, thank you for those who are sick and are receiving your power, for Loretta Forrest, for Jerry West in Costa Rica, and for our brother McDowell, who you are protecting him and covering him with your grace. Thank you, Lord. And now may this day be a feast of love, a feast of celebration to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving for the offering. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Joe Cook. I am the South Bay Director for Teen Challenge. I have some young men here passing out some flyers. It's a some information there regarding Teen Challenge and what we do here in the South Bay, well, in fact, around the world these days. To tell you a little bit about Teen Challenge, it began back in the 1950s, and it was started by a fellow by the name of David Wilkerson that he saw a need and began to go out and try to meet the need, as many of us do, but God had a bigger plan and quickly grew what is Teen Challenge today. And if you notice the group with me, they're not all teenagers, so we have... It's grown to the point where it's not just teenagers anymore, it's adults. What we have here in the South Bay is the only family center here in America where the family unit comes together to be ministered to. And also one of a couple of women and children's programs, the Alum Rock Women and Children's Center, where the mothers can come along with their children and be taken through the program and receive the discipleship that they need to find the way off of drugs and alcohol. If we look around ourselves in our society, you can quickly find out that there still is an epidemic going on. It's large proportions of drugs and alcohol and other addictions. So those are the socially acceptable addictions that we talk about, you know, in open discussions. But there are many addictions that affect people. And the cure and the answer to that, we found, is only found in the blood of Christ and the grace and mercy that we can receive by receiving him into our heart. And that's where things begin to change. And it's in the discipleship process that we stand and we work with people, stand beside them day by day throughout the year that they're at the program, that we find that a foundation is laid and a life can begin and go forth to be productive. So here this morning with me, I have some women from the Women's Center, some guys from our Oakland Men's Center, and some of the single men from the South Bay. We're going to sing a few songs for you this morning, have a testimony, and trust that you'll be blessed by that. So choir, will you come join me? As you hear the testimonies and the songs, if the Lord speaks to your heart, there are a couple of ways you can become involved with Teen Challenge if you want to partner with us. One is your prayer support. I'm a strong believer in the power of prayer. Know that God hears the prayers of his people. They go up before him as a memorial, the Bible teaches us. So please pray for these students. Please pray for the organization of Teen Challenge, for those who volunteer. And that brings me to our second point, your volunteer support. There's always projects going on, always things that need to be done, things can be fixed here and there, or just simply if you'd like to cook a meal. That would go a long way to share the love of Christ and to help those who are in Teen Challenge understand the family that they're now involved in. You're no longer gangs, not that family, but the family of Christ. And there's a home there. And also in your financial support. We thank the pastoral staff and leadership of this church for allowing us to be here again this year. So thank you so much.
I can remember as a child being raised in the church, I can remember the testimonies of the saints, how they said that the blood of Jesus had cleansed them from their sin and shame. But then it didn't mean anything to me. But I can truly say today, brothers and sisters, that there is power in the blood of Jesus. Power in the blood.
Would you be free from the burdens of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power. precious blood of the Lamb. Lord, how we need to bow every day and every hour. Lord, how we need to bow every day and every hour. Lord, how we need to bow every day and every hour. Lord, how we need your power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
Good morning. My name is Tiffany Morgan. I'm 33 years old. I came to Teen Challenge on 4th of July of this past year with my three precious children. I came to Teen Challenge very broken and very angry and very hopeless. I was raised in a very angry home. And as a small child, I experienced things that stole my innocence and took away purity from me. As I grew older, by the time I was about 13 years old, I had made choices to hang around with the wrong people. And during those choices, I was raped. And that was the first night that I ever drank alcohol. And it took me further than I ever wanted to go. And at that point, I gave up hope in my life of ever being a lady, of ever having purity, anything of that effect in my life. So I came to Teen Challenge after an 18-year battle with rage and alcoholism and drug addiction. And since I've gotten here, the Lord is teaching me about His love and His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness for the choices that I made in my life that were wrong, and how I'm forgiven because of Him, because of His grace and mercy, because of His sacrifice on the cross for me. I'm a new creation because of Him. And because of Him, I am a lady and I am pure and I do have hope and I do have forgiveness and I do have everlasting life now. And praise the Lord. And the scripture that I stand on is John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but through Him we would be saved. Thank you.
I'm just glad that God allows us every day to have a new day.
It's a new day. Oh, it's a new time, and there's a new way. I'm gonna live my life all the old has passed away, and the new has come. Thank God, it's a brand new day.
Looking back on yesterday, there are things that I regret, but I put the past behind me, and I never will forget. You have covered my mistakes and my broken dreams. Now over the horizon, I see the dawn is drawing near, and I realize the sun did rise. Tomorrow's finally here.
It's a new day. Oh, it's a new time, and there's a new way. I'm gonna live my life. All the old has passed away, and the new has come. Thank God, it's a brand new day.
Now when I wake up thinking about the things I've done before, memories could not escape, they can't haunt me anymore. And I will hold my head up high, cause I am not the same. You changed my whole perspective, with the new eyes I see. I've become a new creation cause of what you've done for me.
It's a new day. Oh, it's a new time. And finally free, I will never be the same. It's a new day, oh, it's a new time, and there's a new way. I'm gonna live my life, all the old has passed away, and the new has come. Thank God, it's a brand new day. It's a new day. Oh, it's a new time, and there's a new way. I'm gonna live my life, all the old has passed away, and the new has come. Thank God, it's a brand new day. It's a new day. Oh, it's a new time, and there's a new way. I'm gonna live my life, all the old has passed away, and the new has come. Thank God, it's a brand new day. Thank God, it's a brand new day. Thank God, it's a brand new day.
See, as the leader of the privilege of seeing someone come in who's broken, nowhere else to go, burn all the bridges. It's funny. It's funny how there is no discrimination between black and white, any color of the skin, social backgrounds, good homes. These things of addiction, they come in, regardless of who and where you're from, what you're made of, what your family's made of. So it's, you know, same before you, you know, people need to understand that if you see somebody down, you don't understand what brought them to the point there, where they're at. But one thing is true, is that Jesus can transform a life and change it to the point. That's the key ingredient in Teen Challenge, is the discipleship and the belief in that God is going to make a change in your life and biblical principles, to the point where we have an 86% success rate of those who complete. Out of 5 years, 86% are still clean and sober. And that's really the benchmark for that. If you know somebody, or if you yourself are dealing with something and you're in desperate need of help, or someone you know is, you can find out all the information you need with some information we have here with us or on our website, which is www.teenchallenge.net. And you find out there about different fundraising programs we have going on. We have a fashion show that's going to be really great coming up here the 1st of April. If you're a golfer, we have a wonderful golfing tournament coming up. So plenty of information there on the website and here with us. But thank you so much for allowing us to come share what the Lord is doing here in Teen Challenge, because God is alive and doing wonderful things. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you, Teen Challenge, for that wonderful music, and it is indeed worshipful music, and praising our Lord for what He has done in your lives, in all of our lives, when we come to know Him as Savior and Lord. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Job. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 344. We will be reading Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 17. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Job chapter 42, all the verses. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, For you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him, and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren-Hapuch. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your mercy in reconciling us to yourself. We thank you that we now have peace with you because you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be our peace and to accomplish that reconciliation which we could not do for ourselves. We are grateful for the example of the restoration of Job, and we are grateful that you have restored us, even adopted us into your family forever. We thank you for such a great salvation. We pray now for your servant Gabriel Otero. May you bless him and his words as he comes to expose the truth of your word. Give us understanding as we feed on that word. We pray this for all those hearing your word today, here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD, and especially for those who do not know you, do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that they might believe the gospel, Father, and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you very much. And you can bring more chairs if it's needed. The auditorium today is crowded, and the ushers could do that. Please open your Bible to the book of Job again on chapter 42. I'm very happy today to close the series of studies that soon is going to be in a booklet for you with a case topic. So in case you have some of the situations in which the book of Job is manifested, you can look over there and look for the scriptures to help you out and to bring you out of whatever situation you are. The series of studies was based on endurance. That was the title for the series. And I define endurance as the British dictionary bringing on the ability to bear prolonged hardship. And prolonged means years of hardship. As we close the book, we have learned about life. We have learned about ourselves. And now comes the final lesson. What Job, the man Job, teaches us about God. From chapter 38 of the book to chapter 41 of the book of Job, God spoke to Job. Job sat silently through God's extensive message. He didn't say a word. He just listened. Amazingly, God never answered Job's questions. More than that, as I look into the chapters, he doesn't come near those issues that Job brings to God. Instead of answering Job's questions, God presented himself as the creator of the universe. He showed Job certain animals on earth and on the sea, never heard before. And God said, I did all of this. And then he gave a lesson on astronomy and described the earth and the planets and the control of each of them and the equilibrium between them. He never answered Job's question, but he gave a great lesson about God. And the reaction that we find is this, that even though God never answered one of his questions, at the end, on chapter 42, Job humbled himself in submission and turned himself to God. Now listen, God permitted, actually I will use another strong word, God approved the mess in which Job was found. From chapter 3 to chapter 37. God approved. The same God who permitted that happen is telling Job that he is able to do anything he wants to. Job submit to God. And I look into that and I read it. And I said, there must be something that I don't see here. Job must understood something about God that I don't see it. God gave him a lecture about astronomy, a lecture about creation, physics, chemistry. God gave Job a lecture about himself, and Job said, oh, now I see it, and he turns himself in. And I said, boy, I'm a stupid or what? What is happening here? So it took me a long time for this sermon to be prepared and to ask God to tell me, through the scripture, what is God saying? The Job understood him. Well, I learned it. And I hope I can communicate it to you quickly and simple so that you jot down what he saw. The first lesson Job teaches us about God is this. Job chapter 42 verse 2, the first line. There is nothing God cannot do. You know that a great lesson? There is nothing that God cannot do. Chapter 42 and verse 2. I know, said Job, that you can do everything. That's the lesson. I know that you can do everything. There is nothing God cannot do. How you like to have a friend like that? That you have a need and you dial 888. Hey, it's me. Joe, it's me. And it's done. Well, this is all in the Bible. If you put one hand in Job and you go to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14, page 10, if you use the Bible that is in the pew, Genesis chapter 18, in verse 14, Sarah laughed because at 90, God said, you're going to be pregnant. And if I was Sarah, I would laugh too. At 90. And the man is 99. And then been sleeping together for a long time. And Sarah knows that nothing could happen. So what's going on? And God said, you're going to have a baby. And that baby will be the seed of Israel. And so she laughed. But now look. Look in verse 14. God asked a question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah did. She have Isaac. Some doctors in theology were asking Jesus about salvation. Intellectual people. You know how intellectual people are. They want proof and everything. They turn on the light and they don't know why the light is on, but they want proof and everything. And so they come to Jesus and Jesus explained it that is for a rich person who has everything and needs nothing, and for an intellectual person, it is very hard to be saved, to know God. It's so hard, like you get a camel and you have to put the camel through a needle. And look with me, Matthew chapter 14 and page 574. Here's in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Matthew 19, verse 26. In verse 25, they asked Jesus, who can be saved then? If it's so hard to know God, who can be saved? And Jesus explained it, verse 26. He looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, certain things are possible. No, sir. All things are possible. So the first lesson you learn is there is nothing God cannot do. You have a son who is a troublemaker like this pastor was when he was young. Don't worry. God at his time put the hand on it and the whole thing changed on it. It is not a psychologist that will do it. It's God. God will do it. When God got you pregnant with his presence, that's it. Ladies, you know when you're pregnant, you're pregnant. And when you're saved, you're saved. You have the seed of God, like the book of James said, and you. And God do that. And God dwells in the pages of this book called the Bible. If you read a book, the telephone book, you don't find God in the telephone book. I feel so sorry they don't have it. I want to write to Verizon. They put the name. I'm going to put John 3:16. You can find God in the telephone book. You can't find God in the book of science. You can't find God in the book of about medicine. You can't find God anywhere except in the Bible. And when you read the Bible gives you the ingredient for you to find God. What is? Faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Now, so remember, there is nothing God cannot do. So when you are in that difficult test and exam, when you are in that difficult relationship, husband and wife, there is nothing that God cannot do. Go to God and cry to him like Job did. There is a second lesson that teaches about God. And it's in Job 42 and in verse 2, the second part of verse 2. Look at what verse 2 says. My Bible, which is the New King James, translated in this way. And that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. This is the principle. It is impossible to frustrate God. Impossible. Impossible to frustrate God's purpose. Impossible. He said, and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Whatever you determine, you do it, God. That's what I learned. You know, there is no way you can frustrate God. Somebody asked me the other day, can you explain creation really scientifically? Yes, right here. Hebrews chapter 11. Remember the chapter of faith. Here it is. Because faith is a science, all right? So here it is, Hebrews chapter 11, and look verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I said, my friend, more scientific than this is impossible. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. This wood that God made was not made of another wood. Was made by God. Wood, God said, and wood was made. You say, how did this happen? What others, you know. Amazing. Amazing. The giraffe, you see, it was not made from a little giraffe, was made. God said, giraffe, and giraffe was made. He said, well, that's very simple. That's right. That's very simple when you have God. God made the man, and the man was made. And he knew that he cannot be alone. So God gave a test for his life. He created a wife. I sleep in my sister-in-law tonight, so no problem. And we have different beds, so it's no problem whatsoever. But you see what it is? God has made it. Well, let me go to another book of the Bible in Daniel's chapter 4, verse 35, page 522. Daniel, after Ezekiel, Daniel, in chapter 4, in verse 35. The Bible is very precise about this. No one can frustrate God. Daniel's 4:35 said, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heavens and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? It is amazing. If God said tomorrow is going to rain, tomorrow is going to rain, fellas. If God said it's going to be a flood on this earth, it's going to be a flood on this earth. Nobody is going to frustrate the plans of God. So if you have God on your side and you are in his plan, boy, you are on the winning side. So there is nothing God cannot do. That's what he learned. It is impossible to frustrate God's purpose. And then number three, God's plan is beyond our understanding. Let's go back to Job and now 42 and verse 3. God's plan is beyond our understanding. Verse 3. You ask, who is these who hide counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Wait a minute. Job had done a great dissertation in philosophy. Three times he was confronted by these three philosophers. Remember, Eliphaz was one of them, and Bildad the other. And they confronted him, and he has a tremendous answer. But compared to God's answer, he said, I don't understand anything. God's plan is beyond our understanding. Beyond. If you try to understand what God has done, you can. If you try to understand creation, for example, you can. You can. God's plan is too wonderful for me, said Job. Fourthly, Job 42, verse 4 to 6. When the day of reckoning arrives, God is always fair. If you think you are going through an unfair situation in your life, you wait. When the day of reckoning arrives, God is always fair. Let me read it for you. Job chapter 42 and verses 4 to 6. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Only through God's instruction are we able to humble ourselves. You know that? He has been from chapter 38 to 41 instructed by God, and then he says something wonderful. Verse 5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen you. Only through God's instruction we are able to humble ourselves. Turn with me to page 715, 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 7. when things happen to us, is the worst in our life. We cannot see, we cannot understand, we got all kinds of difficulties. But 1 Peter 5, 6 said, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Only through God's instruction, we are able to humble ourselves. You receive God's instruction, you take it in, and this man, after receiving God's instruction, he said, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Have you ever read the Bible and you said, well, I don't understand. And one day, you read the same passage again, and you say, wow, this is what that means. Now I see it. You need to have the instruction from God. The instruction from God. You know, I'm a fanatic, maybe for medical purpose, for me to run. And every day, I eat a lot without fear, and I run, all right? That's why my losing weight is very changeable. I maybe gain weight. But as I tell you, I bought a Nano. You know, you young people know what a Nano is, and I bought Nano. All right, with a long cable, put it in my pocket, put it right here, and I run. And when I look in the fitness place, I go with the people, they are 30, 40, 50, I go with them, you know. And here's this old man with the white hair running, and they run at 5, 6. I go run 5, 6 with them, you know, and I'm happy. I'm listening. I put it in a form that the Nano repeats itself. So I'm listening Acts 13 and Acts 14. And I have some songs, Spanish songs, who are really jumping. And so I put it over there, you know. I have a guy from Puerto Rico. He sings a beautiful Christian music, but it's a little more jumpy than yours. You know, and it's fantastic. And so you hear that music, and you go over there, and then the scripture. And so the people looking to me. And one guy told me the other day, he said, you're very happy. Oh, yeah, you listen to this, and you're happy. He said, oh, let me see. So I stopped, we opened our legs, let the thread go, and I put it. It was Acts 14. And the guy, you know, Paul did this, and the guy listen. He said, that's happy. Oh, yeah, you can see. And he told the other, very soon the whole thing went over there. So I took my coat, and the back said, Jesus. And I keep on going. And they think I'm a nut. But they cannot match me. And they're 50 and 40, and they get tired after a half hour. And I keep on going at 6, you know, yay. It's just fantastic. Then I go out and I eat like crazy. If I want to teach a good Sunday school lesson, I better read that passage 100 times and humble myself before God. If I want to teach to you, I better read this over and over and over again. This is my 10th time I teach a book of Job, and I keep on learning. Only through God's instruction, are we able to understand and to humble ourselves. Verse 7 tells me, when the day of reckoning arrives, God is fair. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and you two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. In other words, the Bible is telling me here, clearly, that those people who laugh about Job, who criticize Job, who made Job guilty, who accused him of everything he never did, they were okay until God put a finger on and said, now it's your turn, fella. Now it's your turn. Come here. This fellow was right. See, that's what I never defend myself. I don't have to defend. I just have to keep on teaching, not criticizing anybody, no against anybody. I just keep on teaching, because the teaching of God's word will melt any heart. And at God's time, God will act. Like here, these three professors, Eliphaz and the others, they thought they got it. God said, now it's your turn, fellas. This guy is right, you are wrong. So remember, you don't have to judge anybody. You don't have to get even with anybody. Isn't that great? I don't have to get even with nobody. I just have to follow God's will in my life and keep on pondering. I care less what people will criticize or no criticize. I just keep on going, happy. Makes the others mad. Now, you will like this one. Job 42, 9 to 13. No one can compare to God when it comes to blessings. I watch television and I see from time to time people who win the lottery. $40 million. What's $40 million? They're so happy. $40 million. $50 million. So I never waste a penny in lottery. My daddy used to play lottery. I when I got a dollar, I don't let it go. Amazing. And they think, oh, we're going to be blessed. Now, you want to see what blessings are? Now, let me show it to you. Chapter 42, verses 9 to 13. Look at the blessing. In verse 9, the Lord accepted Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord has accepted Job. I don't have the time to develop this, but in Ephesians 1, the Bible said, we are accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 1:7. Accepted in the beloved. God, the creator of the universe, God, the empire, he accepted me. An Argentinian with a mother Italian, a father Spanish, and grandma from Palestine. Boy, God, what a mix. And he accepted me. Now I'm no longer a mixture, I'm a child of God. You got it? That's the first blessing. It's no money, it's not a lottery. It's not a good looking husband or a good looking wife. It's God accepting you. Have God accepted you? Who do you have a personal relationship with God? Can you kneel down and pray and know that you are bringing to God by our wonderful high priest Jesus? Can you do that? Accepted by God. Verse 10, the Lord restored him. Look at verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much he had before. You know, if you read the book of Job and you never heard Job praying for a blessing, material blessing. Never pray, God give me back my camels. God give me back my sheep. God give me back this. Never pray for God give me something. He just said, God, I don't understand. But he never asked God to give him anything. And the Bible said, not only God, the Lord accepted him, the Lord restored him. Verse 10, the Lord increased him twice, verse 10, twice as much as he has before. And as you remember, Job 1:3 said he was the richest man in his generation. I mean, he was, where's this guy in the computer? Bill Gates. He was the Bill Gates of his generation. Used to be Rockefeller, but it's peanuts. Nothing. You will not understand Rockefeller. My wife said, don't say Rockefeller. That's in your time and you are too old. I preach in the church, in Rockefeller Church in New York. Man, I really enjoy that church. But my wife said, you're too old. That's too old. The people don't understand. Well, Bill Gates then. Do you understand that? He was the Bill Gates and now he got twice. Without working. Whew. The Lord increased him. Verse 12, the Lord blessed him. Look at verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the later days of Job more than his beginning. The Lord, you see the word Lord, it's all in capital in my Bible. That means Jehovah, the God of Israel. The God of Israel gave him twice. Wait a minute, I read that and I say, hey, God, moment. I think there's something kooky here. Do you know what Job said in chapter 3? I hate the day I was born. He said in Job chapter 3, remember, don't read it again, that chapter. It's the worst chapter in the Bible. He said, I hate the day my mama and my papa did love and I was conceived. I hate that, he said. I don't blame him. He was full of boils and lost everything. He said, why you made that day, Lord? And God, you bless that guy. Why? I tell you why. It's one word. grace. Grace. I saw a splash over the Old Testament that word grace. God doesn't look in what you have done. He looks in what His Son has done, Jesus. And when He looks into His Son, then He places His Son grace upon you. Are we blessed? Are we blessed? He was a blessed man. Finally, only God can fill our final years with power above our circumstances. I have to tell you some family secret between my wife and me. I like to make the bed, to have been in the Navy, so the bed has to make, the sheet has to be every line and place. My wife like the metal like this. I know how picky she is. So I'm picky too. And so we made the bed like this. And we were making the bed and smiled together. And then she said to me, learn well for the day I'm not here. You know, we are 70. I don't tell my wife age, but it's getting close. And I thought for a moment. I paused. That right, one of us will go. I said, no, I think I go first. She said, no, I will die first, she said. Look at what conversation do people have. Before breakfast. And we are so happy. You know something? And I thought to myself, wait a minute, let's wake up. Let's make the bed and forget about it. This is how happy we are, you know? We're talking about that sad day that one of us will depart to the presence of God and the other will wait to arrive there. That's my automatic machine. Don't worry about it. But you know, I started in the United States with 5 bags full of wool because they told me, you go to North America. So I got 5 big suitcases with sweaters from South America and from Italy, thick. And when the inspector in Los Angeles opened the bags, he said, what are you going to do with this? Well, we came to North America. And they laughed so hard thinking that I thought they, I measure the latitude and so on and measure my latitude in South America and it's cold, friends. I mean, it's 10 degrees below zero. So I said, they will be the same. It was not the same. At that time, there were no computers, so I'm an old fella. But I live in Alameda on the Navy side. I never locked the door. So five luggage with wool. Who will steal anything? Okay, they steal the thing. I never have to look anything. I left the car open, everything. You know, you're in the Navy base. In the Navy base, so you're okay. Now I have an alarm. Synchronized alarm, door security. My brother Bill came in and said, oh, secure that door, secure the other. And I went through the house and said, I got all this junk. I wonder why. But I got it. And if I go to my garage, all the tools I never use and so on. Go to my office, all the computers and gadgets. I can't believe it. I don't know if that's a blessing or what, but I tell you something. I have more than I ever have in my life. And somebody told me, oh, if you go into the ministry, I was 34. He said, if you go into the ministry, you're going to be poor. So I look up and say, God, are you poor? And I look at creation and it's not poor. Have you seen the mountains green, so beautiful? Nobody can do it like this. You like flowers? I love flowers. I have flowers inside my house because the deers are my enemies and they eat all of them. But inside, I have a patio and I put a lock on it. And they come to the door and they look and say, ha, ha, ha. I say to them, have you seen a flower coming up? It's passion. I take pictures and pictures. And the next day, the next hour, by the hour, they're blossom. Who can do that? Only God. I'm blessed. I live in a beautiful area. Look in the lake. And the miserable people that buy boats and they don't know when to sell it. They're right there. They're going around. I tell you, it's just so beautiful. Some mornings I get up and there are 40, 50 turkeys, wild turkeys, coming in. You don't see that in New York, but you see it right there in my house. Beautiful. And they talk to each other. And have you seen how they made love? The man left the back like this. The women look on him and they turn off. It's fantastic. I follow them with my camera, you know. They think I'm crazy, but not crazy. I'm in love with God's creation. I'm blessed. More than the five suitcases that I came to this country and $50 in my pocket. More than that. I'm blessed. This God of ours is a God beyond explanation. Have you been accepted by Him? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your faithful presence. Thank you also for your mysterious ways. We entrust to you the lessons we just begin to learn. Thank you for our friend Job, who we met in the pages of his book. Most of all, thank you for the wonderful endurance he molded for us. And give us a song to sing, Father. A song that frees us from the sorrows and from ourselves. O God, make us free in a world of turmoil. In the sweet name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank the Lord for everything. each day. He came to me when I needed him. I only had to pray. And he'll come to you if you ask him to. It's only a prayer away.
Will you stand for the benediction? And once again, I just want to be sure to have my, for those who are listening. Okay, so on here. I want to tell you that you people, Teen Challenge, the whole world have listened to you, satellite radio, radio KKMC, and our internet. People around the world have listened, and I want to give the opportunity to those people. They have an offering for Teen Challenge. Please send it to Bethel. You are on the webpage, wherever you are, and send it to Bethel 100%. We will send it back to the institution, Teen Challenge, for their ministry. We thank you, people. You have done a great work. We will have the fellowship luncheon. The Teen Challenge is first. Dr. McCormick, follow. All right, if you can make it forward. All right, and you have plenty of food, and we eat in the trailers on the other side, so you pick up your plate and go to the trailer. Eat without fear. Let's pray. All right. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.